I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to The Hour of the Time. Let's go right straight down to Phoenix and get the metal report with Gene Miller. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening, Joe. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
I have to make this short and sweet because I got to be someplace here, so we'll get right to it here. Gold had a high of 382.90 and a low of 380.70 to close at $382.40, down 20 cents today. Silver had a high of 537, a low of 525, to close at 526, down 8 cents. Platinum had a high of 428.30, a low of 423, and to close at 425.90, down $1.40. And the Dow had a high of 4403.50. And a low of 43.42.30 to close at 43.95.60, up 54.3, which is about half of what it lost last week when it dropped 80 points, and then I think it 12 points on Friday, so it kind of took a little bit of a tumble last week, and now it's starting to recover a little bit. I look at silver here. And it was earlier in the month that silver was at like $6.15. So when it drops like that, folks, take advantage of it and buy it while it's cheap. And don't wait till it gets to $7 or $8 or $10 or wherever it may end up. Buy it while it's cheap right now. And that's about what I got for tonight, Bill.
Well, thank you, Gene. All of you out there listening, call Gene at 1-800-289-2646, and if nobody answers the phone, leave your name and phone number, and they'll get back with you first thing tomorrow. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you next Monday.
All right, next week we'll have the new newsletter out. It just came off the press. The blue sheet or whatever, the proof of it today. I don't remember what the title of it is, but we'll have it for you next week. So
do me a favor. Fax me a copy of it tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll do it.
Okay. Good night, Gene. 1-800-289-2646 is the number, folks. Call Gene and talk to him about getting your hands on some real money. I got to tell you, folks, if you've never really held a real gold coin in your hand, you really got a thrill coming. There's a reason why they call it money. It feels like money. It is money. There'll be a Constitution Party meeting in San Mateo. Let me see. San Mateo, California. No, it's San Mateo County, I believe. Constitution Party meeting in San Mateo County at the Alpha Beacon Library. That's the Alpha Beacon Library. 750 Dartmouth Avenue in San Carlos, California. Saturday, June 10th. There's no phone number here. They didn't give me a phone number for you to call. So whoever's putting together this meeting, if you'll call tomorrow and leave a phone number so people can call to get directions, because a lot of people like to come from distances and they don't know how to get there. So anyway, it's a Constitution Party meeting in San Mateo County at the Alpha Beacon Library, 750 Dartmouth Avenue, San Carlos, California, 94070. And I don't know why I'm giving you that. Saturday, June 10th. So just disregard that zip code. I'm going crazy here, folks. Also, Constitution Party meeting in Missouri on June 14th. That's Wednesday, June 14th in Missouri at the Kearney Branch Library. The Kearney Branch Library at 630 West Kearney, Springfield, Missouri. at the Constitution Party meeting in Missouri, June 4th, Wednesday, at the Kearney Branch Library at 6:30, West Kearney, Springfield, Missouri. For the time and directions and all that kind of stuff, call Tom at, looks like 417-889-5988. That's 417-889-5988. Talk to Tom. He'll tell you what time, give you directions. Also, there's going to be a Constitution Party. Oh, nope, that's already gone by. Never mind. Forget it. Those have already gone by the wayside. Okay, folks, what we're going to do, since I've been gone so long, we're going to take calls tonight. I hope you're thoroughly confused from the last 2 hours of blithering, babbling BS. If you got questions about what's really going on, you can do one of two things. You can look in issue number 3 of Veritas, or you can call me tonight and we'll talk about it. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Behind you, something's not right.
Watch your arms. Please step well past the grave. We're here for the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, stay with the facts.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gun. You better obey if you want to come home. That's what you sound like to do with your tone.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Jan Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, the money founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across this land, and Clinton saying take the mark with your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar of right, Clinton's preparing it for another.
And that ain't all. The number, for those of you who may just be tuning in or may not have listened to the hour of the time before, is 520-337-2922. That's 520-337-2922. It's very difficult to get through on this radio broadcast, but if you keep hitting your redial button, eventually you will. Also, remember that number, when we're not on the air, is our fax line. We disconnect the fax about 30 minutes before we go on the air, and it's not connected again until about 30 minutes after we leave the air. So 2 hours out of every 24, the fax is not online while we're doing this broadcast. And that's just 5 nights a week. Okay, let's go right to the phones. Good evening. You're on the air.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, sorry, I didn't get to click on. I don't know if you were, I didn't understand if the questioning tonight was just going to be on a particular topic or whatever we needed to sound off on.
No, you can talk about anything you want.
But I'm calling from Pennsylvania. This is Howard. And apparently this week our divine legislature is going to vote on special session Senate Bill number 75. That's the bill that's going to give federal agents police powers within the state. It also gives them powers to enforce Pennsylvania laws. We got to stop it. I don't know if this is an, and I know we talked about this about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wait a minute. You must be wrong. The federal government is saying that they're not doing these things, that they're not becoming oppressive, that they're not interfering in the rights of the states or the citizens. You've got to be mistaken.
Well, you know, sometimes I wake up delirious from all of these laws. I swear to you, every once in a while I wake up and I feel like I want to do one of those silent screams because it almost feels like it's coming at me from all sides.
Well, it is.
Well, you know that, and I know that. And the problem is that there's a number of people out there who, when you say that to them,
bah.
Like some idiot on talk radio today who said, this is the freest country in the world.
Bah.
You know, that's right, unless you're stopped by the state police in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for, this is a friend of mine, just went on a camping trip over the weekend, and he and a Boy Scout troop got stopped with a whole line of other cars, because all the police said, this is a police check. What the hell is a police check? They were stopping everybody and asking everybody if they had seatbelts on and had license and registration. They were just pulling people over randomly.
What they were looking for are weapons, and if every time they found a weapon, they confiscated it.
Well, they weren't asking, though, for weapons, but I'll tell you.
No, they don't. They just use any excuse to stop the car. Then they look for weapons. If they find a weapon, they confiscate it.
So, yeah, and you're exactly right on that one, but the question that I have is, I thought that was patently illegal.
It is, but every time somebody allows it to happen under the common law, which the law is based upon, it is an indication that you have relinquished your rights and have no rights.
Well, remember, those of us who stamp our money and say that the federal government is overstepping its bounds must be some kind of fruitcakes. You know, there was a tremendous quote in the New American, and it was a Hitler quote, and it said something about that you must make all the groups that you want to get at look like one.
That's right, and that's exactly what they're doing. You're going to see more terrorist attacks. You're going to see more attacks upon anybody who doesn't fit their concept of good little socialist fascists in the New World Order.
Well, see, here's the thing, though, because when I give interviews and whatnot, I always make sure that I let them know that I'm Jewish, and they don't quite know what to do with me, because they can't seem to label me and call me some kind of right-wing fanatic who's a KKK freak, whatever.
You know what they're calling Jewish people who stand up and tell the truth and refuse to be manipulated?
Tell me.
Jew-hating Jews.
Well, you know, I have to admit that I do know one just like that, but you're not going to find too many Jews that hate Jews.
No, you don't find... I'll tell you, all of the hate that I see is not coming from anybody who considers themselves to be a patriot and understands the principles of liberty, no matter who they are. It's coming from these scumbags who really want to destroy freedom.
Now, what we have to do, and this is a message to everybody who's listening, we got to get out there, and you got to not only call and write your esteemed legislators, you've got to go and demand that you see them. I've got a legislator right here in my home county who, he won't tell me he won't see me, but he won't see me.
That's right. They don't want to see you because they got to look you in the eye, and they can't do that. They know what they're doing.
Well, if enough of us, though, demand it, they're going to have to do something. We can't just sit back and write faxes and write letters. You've got to go out and see these people.
We're not. We're building militias, and we're getting ready for whatever they're going to push us into, and I've worked a good portion of my life to prevent anybody from getting hurt, but it looks like they're going to force people into being hurt. They're going to hurt a lot of people. They're going to blow up a whole bunch of things to bring this about, and they're going to demonize a lot of people and destroy families and communities, and you watch.
Let me ask you one question before I go. There's a thing on the Internet, and I know you hate the stuff on the Internet, but there's a message on the Internet from some general or some bomb expert, and he talks about the different pylons and how they couldn't possibly have blown up that building.
General Parson, you first heard his information on this broadcast. You first heard about the seismograph reports from the Omniplex and from the University of Oklahoma Energy Center. We were the first ones to have them. We were the first ones to publish them. We were the first ones to bring out General Parton and all the others. We were the first for everything. We kept his identity secret until he was able to fire off a whole bunch of letters to the Senate and to the House of Representatives. And he's protected now, so it's okay if everybody knows who he is.
Well, so you'll have to forgive me. Sometimes your radio show does not come through because it's being jammed. Tonight happens to be different. But so you're saying General Parton's that letter is valid?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, that's a good letter. Then I'll start passing that around.
Yes, he's probably the only one out there who has the authority and the experience to talk about it.
Well, I thought that the description that he gave of what pylons actually gave way and what didn't was fascinating.
Yeah, it is. We did the whole thing on this broadcast, a couple of weeks ago or so, about 2 weeks ago, I guess.
Okay. That's all I got to say. Believe it or not, I'm going to shut up and turn my radio back on.
Okay.
And I thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Folks, just to let you know what's going on, let me read a little bit to you. This comes from our Oklahoma City station chief. And let me see. Oh, tonight an advanced synopsis of a Newsweek report that says the FBI promises an avalanche of arrests over the next several weeks. The FBI calls them a group of major players in the Oklahoma City bombing. The report goes on to say...
Hello?
The report goes on to say the FBI pretty well knows who was involved in the bombing right now, and that includes husbands, wives, as well as children as young as 12. Newsweek also reports the FBI is investigating an eastern Oklahoma white... Listen to this carefully. Newsweek... How would Newsweek know? Newsweek also reports the FBI is investigating an eastern Oklahoma white supremacist... There's the buzzwords. White supremacist group in Elohim City. It is hidden on the border of Adair and Sequoia counties, a stone's throw away from Arkansas. It is a self-sufficient compound, another buzzword, of people who have their own schools, another buzz, homeschooling, and they grow their own food, another buzz, survivalists, and its people are armed. Ooh, oh my gosh, ooh, ooh, armed. That's the big buzz. In 1987, Elohim City offered asylum to white supremacists indicted for trying to overthrow the United States government. That's total crap, bullshit, lie. Nobody has tried to overthrow the United States government in 1987 or any other time. In 1993, as federal agents were faced off against Branch Davidians in Texas, Elohim City's leader warned of the potential of armed resistance if police came into his community. Another lie. That's not what he said. He said if they charged in like criminals without warrants and started hurting people. That is the right of the people to do that. Now, this guy, Robert Miller, says, whether they wear uniforms and have badges or not, if they come in like criminals and act like criminals, we would treat them the way we treat criminals. Interviewer, you'd shoot them? Robert Miller, I hope I never have to do that. There's some wonderful people in law enforcement. See, that's what he really said. And then it goes back to Angela Buckaloo, the little Barbie doll, keepy baby anchor thing. You know, the people who don't think, they read from a teleprompter. They don't even know what it's going to say most of the time. What connects Miller with McVeigh? McVeigh allegedly called the Elohim compound April 5th of this year. McVeigh wasn't a stranger to eastern Oklahoma. Listen to this, folks. In October of 1993, Arkansas State Police pulled McVeigh over on a traffic violation near Elohim City. You see what they're doing? Another possible connection with the bombing. Miller is somewhat of a personal pastor to white supremacists, including Richard Wayne Snell. Remember, Richard Wayne Snell was supposed to have murdered a Jewish guy? Well, we checked into it, folks. This is a lie. He did murder a man, but he wasn't a Jew. He was an Episcopalian. Murder is just as bad whether you murder a Jew or an Episcopalian. But why did they lie and say that the man was a Jew? What the hell is going on here? I continue. You remember, he reportedly said, look over your shoulder, justice is on the way, just before he was executed in Arkansas. And that was, of course, April 19th, the day of the bombing. And Mike says, that's the little Cupid doll man, anchor person, teleprompter reader. He says, a little of the geography here again. McVeigh stopped on a traffic citation? Angela, right. Mike, in Arkansas, right across the border from Oklahoma, just a few miles from the Elohim City compound. Angela, that's right. He was ticketed for that. It was just a simple traffic violation. It certainly does not prove anything as far as the bombing is concerned, but it does put McVeigh in the area of a compound of people who hate the government, who hate law enforcement, and they never said anything like that, and they don't hate the government, and they don't hate law enforcement. They dislike what we all dislike, what we're all getting damn sick and tired of. And he continues, and now we have the report that McVeigh called Elohim City before the bombing on April 5th. Now, this is according to Newsweek magazine. And they lie all the time. I don't know if McVeigh called Elohim City or even where Elohim City is on April 5th. If nothing else, he says, it shows McVeigh was familiar with the area, and now apparently the FBI is as well. Jennifer Reynolds. Newsweek magazine is reporting that investigators are looking closely at a white separatist group in the far eastern part of the state in connection with the bombing. Their compound is on several hundred acres. They call Elohim City. Young people armed with automatic rifles greeted our crew today. People there didn't want to comment except to say that they are being unfairly accused. And they are. They say they have guns only because they feel threatened right now. Violence is not their way of dealing with things, they say. Singing and a prayer service were going on at one point during the visit today. But police nearby say they also add that they've never had any problems with the group. One officer says he's even hunted on their land without any problem. Oh, you mean the officer had a gun and was hunting on their land? Oh, my God. He must be one of those white supremacist, right-wing, fanatic, terrorist, what else do you call them? Oh, religious fundamentalist nuts. Interviewer, have you had any dealings with them? Mike McLeod from the Muldrow, Oklahoma police. He's an Oklahoma police officer. I ain't never heard of them bothering anybody. No one goes up there and messes around with them. They just keep to their self. They do their own farming, their own schooling. They just basically like to be left alone. Jennifer Reynolds. The compound leader has set a news conference for the day after tomorrow. How about that, folks? And tonight? Tonight? At the end of a detention hearing that has lasted all day, the judge in Michigan has decided to release James Nichols on his own recognizance tomorrow at noon. It was reported that the judge said that there was not one iota of evidence against James Nichols that tied him into the Oklahoma City bombing. Federal prosecutors objected to the judge's ruling, stating that Nichols was a flight risk, a danger to society. But the judge stood firm. He said there is no evidence to support any of the government's allegations. So James Nichols will be released to friends tomorrow at noon. Dave Balut of Channel 9 in Oklahoma, reporting live from Michigan, said that eight of Nichols' friends testified today that Nichols was trustworthy and an upstanding citizen, but he was not in any way like the media had depicted him. Apparently the judge believed them. Nobody, folks, and I'm going to tell you right now, nobody is anything nearly like what the media portrays them, even the people who are. Let's go back to the phone. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill?
Yes.
Hi, okay. I didn't hear any kind of click or anything like that.
We don't do clicks around here.
Okay, that's good.
If you want clicks, call Valentine.
They're annoying. I just got my first edition of Veritas. I highly recommend it. It's a very good newspaper, and I encourage everybody to get it. It goes into a lot of good factual detail, and I want to thank you for that. A question I had concerning the Constitution Party, is the Constitution Party consolidated with any other party, or is it a separate party, or has it considered consolidating other groups?
No, we're not consolidating with anybody. We have combined to work with the state sovereignty group that McDonald has put together in California. And we're working with that group. We don't agree with everything they do or say, and they are not part of the Constitution Party, except for the individual members who have joined the Constitution Party on their own. But for publicity purposes and for furthering the goals of both groups, we have agreed to support each other's goals. We do not support Mr. McDonald's contention that only white people can be state citizens. We disagree with that 100%, as you well know if you've been listening to this broadcast for a long time. But he does not take that point of view, for the rest of you who may think he's racist, he does not take that point of view from a racist standpoint. He is not racist at all. He takes that point of view from the points in law during the time that this country was founded and the Constitution was written. If you were not a white male property owner, you could not be a citizen anywhere. Whether you were a woman or a man or anybody, if you were not white if you were not male, and if you were not a property owner, you were not a citizen. And that's the truth.
I see. I just wanted to say, when they called you a white supremacist, I just wanted to say that I, for one, would go to court and testify that you were not. And I want to thank you for all your good work, and God bless you, Bill.
Thank you very much, and thank you for calling. The number, once again, is 520-337-2922. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Tom Valentine, so, yes.
Turn off your radio.
Yeah, I just did. His guest indicated he was seeing four or five explosions. Had any of your experts or your people seen the same thing?
Seen them? What are you talking about? I wasn't there. Neither were any of our experts.
No, I mean, I'm a president of the record.
No. We talked to the experts in Oklahoma who the seismograph records came from, and what they said is printed verbatim in our newspaper.
All right, okay.
They said that there was two events resembling quarry blasts. The first one was obviously the explosion at the Oklahoma Federal Building in Oklahoma City. The second one, they don't know where it came from because they didn't get any triangulation. And at that time, the news media and the government was only reporting one explosion. But they said that it was definitely of the same magnitude and the same duration. We checked all over Oklahoma. There was no other explosion. There were no earthquakes. There was nothing else that happened anywhere near that time of the morning except the explosion in the federal building.
This party was saying his interpretation was that he was seeing multiple blasts, suggesting individual explosions on the column.
No.
I thought that was particularly interesting. Kind of reinforces the your program you mentioned a little while ago. Which I thought was excellent.
According to the general and any other explosives experts, if there were charges on the columns, they would have been set to detonate at the same time. If these were two different teams operating without any knowledge of each other, or maybe one team on the inside knew about the stooges on the outside, then there could have been delays or separations between the blasts because maybe the amateurs on the outside didn't quite know what they were doing.
Yeah. Well, if that, in fact, is a reasonable interpretation, it has to be something to look into. That would have some interesting implications as well. And that's all I can say is that that sounded extremely interesting to me, if indeed that was the case.
Well, you have to understand that it takes an expert to read seismographs. That's why we took the verbatim testimony of the experts who run the seismograph machine rather than listen to some supposed expert on radio Freemasonry.
Well, I'll have to admit, in my personal experience, I've disagreed with experts and have been ragged. Nobel Prize winners, in fact. So, I wanted to congratulate you on that program. That was tremendous. You don't get things right very often, but that one, that time you did.
Wait a minute. What don't we get right very often? Name something we didn't get right.
Oh, well, let's put it this okay. I guess about a year ago, you were reading a report proposals for changes to the Forest Service regulations.
Yes.
I read the same thing as you were reading it. You and I were totally different. I was trying to imagine how you can read that into it. I'd have to get the tape of the program and the program to...
That just shows that there's something missing between your ears, because what I read was verbatim from the report.
I read verbatim. I was reading right along with you.
Then you don't. Then you can't understand English.
Oh, I absolutely can.
No, sorry. Well, in fact, because we did that broadcast about the report from the Forest Service and how they were going to shut off the land and prevent people from using it, we were able to stop those regulations from being implemented, and it was all because of this broadcast. Evidently, what I was just talking to was one of those Sierra Club ecology Ozone Wacko Scam Freakos. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Bill, this is Chris from California.
Hello, Chris.
Yes, sir. I was at the Constitution Party meeting, and you saw how many people were at the meeting last week, and we have to grow as fast as possible, and we will. I just want to say to all my fellow listeners, I was at the meeting, and some people who have not heard Mr. Cooper before, they were there at my invitation over the airwaves. They are convinced the Constitution Party, it's the only ticket in town.
Well, what did they think about the meeting?
Well, your speech, they'd never heard you before. Your speech was very eloquent and to the point. I've recorded it. I've taped it 3 times and given it to 3
people. Oh, wait a minute. What did they think about it?
They're impressed. They know that Republican or Democrat, it's the same team. These people are familiar with the Council on Foreign Relations. Obvious at this point that the major media doesn't tell you the truth. And at this point, after becoming a radio call-in listener of about 9 months, I'm just amazed at how much effect I do have in informing people over the airways. And I'm basically pleading to all the informed listeners out there to the hour of the time to call in every talk show, local talk show, make the statements that can be backed up by proof. And at this point, this is of utmost importance in restoring our republic and reawakening the American people. It works. Calling local talk shows, it does work. That's basically all I have to say at this point.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Good night.
Good night.
520-337-2922 is the number. If you'd like to call and get in your 2 cents worth, if you want to be like that other guy, folks, use some intelligence, you know. If I ask you what it is you disagree with, be able to talk about it and verbalize yourself. Be able to discuss it intelligently. Don't make stupid offhand statements like that. We don't care if you disagree. I love an intelligent conversation with anybody. And many people who know me and can have those types of intelligence conversations know that I don't get upset or angry. When you show some intelligence and can verbalize and can talk intelligently about what it is that you're trying to say. But when you come on and make some statement like that I got one thing right, and that's it, and then can't verbalize and say what it is that we got wrong other than you were reading along with it, that's bullshit, and it don't go on this broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
I had an interesting experience. I'm calling from California. Went to the local federal building today to check on some information on Form W-8 with our local IRS office.
Uh-huh.
And the guy that I talked to had no idea what I was talking about. He had to run upstairs, check with somebody. He came back. Nobody knew anything about it. So I said, well, if you've got a copy of the Internal Revenue Code here, I can show you the pertinent sections. And I was amazed. They didn't even have a copy of their own code in their office.
No, that's because they don't use it. As you see, if those people started looking in their own code, they would quickly realize that they were criminals and quit their job. What they do is they're hired, they go into a little meeting, the supervisor hands out little hands out and tells them what to do and how to answer questions and what kind of response to make to people. And they don't get to see those things.
Yeah.
Well, I've gone to trials where people are on trial for income tax evasion and stuff like that. When these stooges get on the witness stand, they don't even know what they're talking about. A good defense lawyer or a good person defending themselves can really make them look like idiots.
Yeah. Well, that was the way this guy, he was like spinning in circles. He didn't know where he was going just from the questions I was asking him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned to a friend of mine what had happened, and he says, well, Cooper'd probably say they wouldn't want any evidence laying around.
Well, that's right. They don't. But it's not for us not to see. It's for their own people not to see.
Yeah.
You see, if they really got into this and started studying it, they wouldn't work for the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be a criminal. Nobody wants to hurt other people under the color of law.
Yeah. And also, when I walked in there and was waiting in the waiting area, there were two notices taped on the partition there for property that had been seized, like cars and things, and I thought that's kind of interesting. They got these little intimidation things stuck all over the place there.
Exactly what it is. You recognize it for exactly what it is. It's there to intimidate people who come in who might have an argument about something. They see that, and then all of a sudden they don't want to argue anymore.
Yeah. So I'm having some interesting experiences with this, but hopefully I'll be making some headway with it pretty soon. So, yeah, I just wanted to let you know about that. I thought other people might be interested in hearing it, so... keep up the good work. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
Hey, good night.
Good night. 520-337-2922. 2922 is the number. If you'd like to call in and get in your 2 cents worth, you got a chance to say something intelligent and influence all of those millions of listeners out there, or you can say something absolutely ridiculous and make a complete ass out of yourself. It's all up to you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill. I'm wondering whether anything at all can be done to prevent the demolition tomorrow. A protest, a picket around the building, would that make any sense?
Let me tell you, we have done just about everything that we can do. We have faxed and hand-delivered every piece of information and evidence that we have to law enforcement people, senators, representatives, and McVeigh's lawyers. We have tried to stop that. If they blow that building tomorrow, it will be even a worse crime than bulldozing the building in Waco, Texas, simply because it's a duplication of the same thing. They're destroying all the evidence so that nobody can ever put together what happened with those bombs. And when McVeigh's defense attorneys went in there with the experts, with the supposed explosives experts, they found that they had already filled up the crater.
Hmm. Well, we appreciate your efforts. I wish we could do something.
Well, I wish we could, too. We've done everything that we can here. I don't know what else to do. I wouldn't advise anybody, unless it's a hell of a lot of people, because they won't arrest a hell of a lot of people. I mean, if 1 million people went down there and stood around that building, they would not blow it. But I got to tell you something. 1 million people are not going to go down there and stand around that building.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Good night, and thank you for calling. 520-337-2922 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Yeah, Bill?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Ed from Beaverton, Oregon.
When did you start the juggling phone act?
I'm running from the radio to the telephone.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
I thought it was a new, hobby.
No, sir, not. I have a question. Are you familiar with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Carl Sanders?
I believe so, yeah.
I have a tape I'm going to send to you. I've got it in an envelope right now to come out.
Isn't that about AIDS?
No. He is an electrical engineer.
It's a different person. No, then I'm not familiar with him.
From what this tape says, and I cannot verify anything on it, but it was an interview done in a Rogue River radio station a couple of years ago, or a year and a half ago, and it was a 3-day session. I only got 2 days of it, but it's interesting. It deals with the chip. It deals with some other things, but you'll see.
I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, the guy is a total phony.
Is he valid?
No, total phony.
Okay.
He did not work where he said he worked. He was not who he said he was. We don't know who he was or why he did what he did, but he's total phony.
Well, I'll send you the tape anyway.
Well, we've already got it. Now I know who you're talking about. I know exactly
who I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about now, yeah.
Okay.
He is not legitimate at all.
Well, can't be legitimate, I guess, and there are a lot of them out there that aren't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I remember about the Hegelian dialectic. There are some good people out there who do know about the chip technology and who are who they say they are, and who know a lot more than that guy Sanders anyway.
Well, I'm sure you're right, and unfortunately, they're not talking. So.
Yeah, they are.
Well, I haven't heard them. That's neither here nor there. I haven't heard a lot of things, but I listen to you, and I listen to a couple of other places, and I read as much as I can read, and I've read a couple of books that you suggested, and I also read a couple of books my son suggested that he sent to me. And they all are doing some real neat things. You know, I mean, they're not neat things. These guys are terrible. In fact, I quit calling things the government. I call them the Brotherhood these days.
Well, that's what it is. It's the
Brotherhood.
That's right. You got it now. It's not the government. Nobody hates the government. We love our government.
Yeah.
Our government is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
That's right. It's the Brotherhood that is creating the problem.
Yeah, we don't even hate them. We just dislike what they're doing. We wish they'd stop and go get an island and have their Brotherhood and their communist dictatorship or whatever the hell it is they're trying to do somewhere else. Leave us alone.
And get the hell out of this country.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got to ask you. I haven't never got in. The other night I tried to get in and I called. You know how that works.
Yeah.
And, oh, well.
That's hard to get in on this broadcast.
I know it is. I'm just lucky to have done it.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill. Keep up the good work. And Veritas is a terrific paper.
Thank you.
Thank you
for calling. By the way, if you'd like to order a subscription, and folks, issue number 3 is gone. Don't send any more $5 for issue number 3. All we've got left is issue number 2. Number 1 is gone. Number 3 is gone. We've got some copies of issue number 2. If you want issue number 2, send us $5. And you better do it quick because it's going to be gone probably in a week. Good evening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Joe in West Virginia.
Hi, Joe.
I was calling. This newspaper here has gone crazy. This whole state has gone crazy. We have environmentalists here that have this great idea of straightening up West Virginia by shipping them, say, 100,000 rattlesnakes into this area. We have no poisonous snakes other than a copperhead. But they want to bring these in to eat the turkey eggs, and this is in the paper, and this is already being done, to eat the turkey eggs rather than have open season on the turkeys to where we can eat the turkeys. They're going to bring these rattlesnakes in and put them in our counties.
That's because they don't want people with guns going out and shooting turkeys and putting them on the table and eating them because that's not environmental. That's not in accordance with nature. So we're going to bring in rattlesnakes. We'll eat the eggs, and nature will be in balance. And you know, if they eat the eggs, it's like an abortion. It really doesn't hurt anything because there's not a real turkey in that egg.
Well, but there's another thing. Like now, West Virginia, I don't know if you've ever been here, but we live in valleys and hills. And we have streams going down in the valleys. Well, now they're going to try to pass a law, and I only got 10 acres of flat land, that you've got to fence back 50 yards on each side of the stream so your cows cannot urinate or crap in the streams of water. And they got this up as a bill they're trying to pass it.
These people are insane. Don't you know that yet?
They're insane. They're dangerously insane because they got to stay away from me because I got to the point I can't handle it no more.
Well, you got to get together with the citizens of your state, and you got to band together and turn these people around and lock them up in jail. Make some laws that says that what they're doing is a crime.
It's very difficult because most of these people think they're going to fly away. Now they got this religious thing, they're going to fly out of here before anything gets bad.
Ain't nobody going to fly away, but the smart turkeys that realize the rattlesnakes are eating their eggs, they're going to go somewhere else. You're going to be stuck with a bunch of rattlesnakes with nothing to eat but people.
But how about my children? They are playing to get bit by a rattlesnake.
I'm trying to be a little sarcastic here.
But they're getting these things, and then these people have gone completely berserk, and everyone, all my neighbors are all against all this. But they say, what can we do? Well, really, what could we do? Have you got an idea what we could do?
You can do the same thing they do. Get in there and have their laws thrown out, and by sheer weight of numbers and voters, pass your own laws saying that they're not allowed to come across the border into your state. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. Why are you asking me to tell you? I mean, if they can get together and pull the political power to make these things happen, why can't the decent citizens get together and pull the political power to make these things stop?
Well, we have a man here that they worship called Jay Rockefeller. He is our senator. And Mr. Byrd. And these people worship him. I mean, it's really a sick situation. And
you know why they worship him? Because they're greedy. Byrd goes to Washington and he comes back with tons and tons of pork. In fact, isn't he the pork senator?
Oh, yes.
Isn't he?
The Apple headquarters just 75 miles from my home.
Isn't he the one that gets the greatest amount of pork in the whole United States for that state?
Yeah, he gets it, but everybody here works for the state, the school board, the county, the city, McDonald's, Burger King, or Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's no jobs here.
Socialism rules supreme, sounds like to me.
And they took all of the small lumber people here that made boards and stuff. They shut them all down so they couldn't meet the standards, or the environmental standards. And now we got a couple of big people here. But the small people are all put out of business. People that went out here and cut logs and made a living, they stopped them. Now they want a license for chainsaws.
Yeah, I know.
For the school to have an operator chainsaw.
I know, but everybody knows this stuff. I mean, we're just beating a dead horse here. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows this is happening. That's why everybody is so sick to death. They're so tired of government. They're sick of this crap.
Well,
Americans are going to do something about it pretty soon. I don't know what, but I'll tell you right now.
It's going to happen.
Something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen.
I just hope there's no bloodshed. I hope we can settle by voting these criminals out of office. I pray that we can do that. But I don't know what to do. But I think that you're right in time. I think we're going to have a severe problem if they don't change. And I hate to see that happen. Anyway, God bless you. Take care.
God bless you, and thank you for calling. 520-337-2922 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. Did you catch any of Faith Summation last night by chance?
No.
Okay, well, they had Wayne LaPierre on there, and he gave pretty much, I thought, a spineless performance.
Wayne LaPierre turned into a bowl full of jello, the gutless wonder, ratted out, and slunk back to his office. He should have stuck to his guns because he was right in the first place. The BATF is a bunch of jackbooted thugs.
And that's not all. You know, also he said that he was totally against any and all militias, and the fact that that's just the basis of the Second Amendment.
Well, if he's saying that, then he doesn't understand the law, he doesn't understand the history of this country, and the NRA should get rid of him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I thought was kind of funny, lady at Chenoweth from Idaho, she went into a great deal of detail as far as what happened over at the Weavers. And that commentator, I forget what his name is, he had started stuttering and coughing, and they were trying to interrupt her and stuff. She was really going off. I think they let a little bit too much of her get in there by accident. It was so obvious, you know, and they cut her off right away, and then the show ended. But I thought that was pretty funny myself.
Well, it is funny. When somebody gets a chance to tell the truth, it just kills them. They can't stand it.
Oh, no. He was really choked up. I wish I had it on tape. But anyway, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 520-337-2922. Yes, folks, there's no gutless wonders here. The BATF is a bunch of jackbooted thugs. Wayne LaPierre and the NRA was right when they said it the first time. We can prove it, and we will never back down from that statement. We will not apologize to anyone. It is the truth. The BATF owes the American people an apology. The BATF should be sending some of their people to prison for what they did in Waco, Texas, and in other places all around the country. In one home, they busted down the door. People were ill. The wife had cancer. They stomped their pet kittens to death purposely. And by the way, this seems to be a pattern. In Waco, Texas, they went up and shot each of the children's dogs individually, killed them. They were in a pen. They couldn't hurt anybody. They couldn't hurt the BATF or anybody. But it was terrorism to scare the children, to make them cry because they were losing their pets. These people, it's exactly what they are. They're SS, Hitler stormtroopers, and if Hitler was alive today, those guys would be rushing to sign up in his stormtrooper army. I can guarantee you that. Now, not all law enforcement officials are bad people. I know quite a few who are really good people, who are helping us, who will continue to help us. But the BATF, they're out of control. And they're not even subject to the laws of the United States, and that's why nothing happens to them, folks. I read you the executive order signed by Ronald Reagan on the air, and that's the truth. They don't belong to an agency of the United States government. They belong to the Treasury Department, which comes under the International Monetary Fund, which is an agency of the United Nations. And if you don't believe that, go start studying the law like we have. I proved it. I read it to you from the documents in the law on this broadcast weeks ago, maybe months ago. Good evening. You're on the air.
It's great to hear you get wound up and fired up.
Well, I can't stand these limp-wristed little lily-livered pukes who call themselves leaders. Wayne LaPierre just simply cowered, slinked out like a lizard with his tail between his legs. He is not worthy of being the head of the NRA or any other organization in this country which stands for rights protected by the Constitution for the people of the United States of America.
Bill, I have some information to share with you. Mr. Cooper.
Go for it.
All right. There area code 405.
Now, wait a minute. Before you give a telephone number, tell me what you're talking about.
Okay, this is the judge's, I do not have his last name, but this is the judge's number for people to call in Oklahoma City regarding the demolition of the building that's to take place in the morning, if people want to call.
Okay, go ahead.
Area code 405-521-4666. I also, this is solely rumor and I'm passing it on because you might be interested, you may not. But the word is that when the building comes down in the morning, that the seismic record of that will not be made public.
Oh, that's very interesting. Why not? And who determined that?
Evidently, federal jurisdiction.
Federal jurisdiction? They don't have any jurisdiction on the University of Oklahoma or the Omniplex.
I'm not justifying anything. I'm just saying that that is the word, is that evidently the government is again stuck their, you know, thumb in the pie and saying no, 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 no.
Oh, this is incredible. This is incredible.
I know that you have people here in my state that, you know, can follow up on that, and I wanted to share that with you.
Oh, they will be. Believe me. In fact, they're probably listening right now. They're probably running to their phone.
And regarding the jackbooted thug, that quote was originally made by Congressman Dingell.
Yes. Dingell was the first one who made it, and he was also right, and he's a socialist Democrat puke pig, and he called it right on the money.
You won't get any argument from me, and I'll get off here and let somebody else have at it.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-337-2922. Now, you don't hear us backing out of anything here. There's no wimps here. I learned a long time ago, folks, if you're going to fight a battle, fight it. If you can't fight it, get the hell off the battleground. Good evening. You're on the air.
Houston and Oklahoma area, I'm in Texas, or somebody that is in the oil well exploration business that could get a seismic truck up there in the morning to record that.
I don't know. If there's somebody listening, I hope that they can and they will.
Somebody ought to know somebody in the oil exploration business. Their business is seismology. And they can run a truck up there and put out sensors and record that.
Yes, they can. And I hope there's somebody listening who will do that. We don't know anybody in the oil field business. We were looking and calling all the oil companies and all the oil field people to try to find seismographs that may have been taken the morning of April the 19th, and we couldn't find any.
Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 520-337-2922. And remember, folks, when we're not on the air, that is our fax line number. If you have something to fax to us, use that number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Coomer.
Yes.
This is Captain Lee, Michigan Wolverine Militia. Thank you for Behold the Pale Horse. Thank you for 2 and 3 copy of the Veritas. I'm waiting for number 4. My question, I need some way to find out how we get contact the 2nd Continental Army. I'm a Michigan militia member, but I would like to investigate or check into the 2nd Continental Army. Over.
Well, the reason the 2nd Continental Army is so successful that if you are not invited to be a member, you will never know anything about it.
Okay, thank you much. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. And that's no disparagement against you. It's nothing personal whatsoever. It's just that that particular organization is successful simply because it tends to business. It doesn't go off half-cocked like all these other idiots. It doesn't. You will never see them on Geraldo or Donahue. You will never hear a private in the 2nd Continental Army of the Republic making a statement to the press ever. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. I had some fun last week when the announcement came that our illustrious former president, George Porgy Bush, was resigning from the NRA. And I got interviewed in the local CBS TV network here, and I said basically, I hope Mr. Bush doesn't let the door hit him on the way out, and said quite a few other things and pointed out how when I attended my first NRA convention in New Orleans in 1986, George Bush happened to be one of the keynote speakers. And Bush got up there on a Friday and lied to everybody and said what a wonderful pro-gun man he was when he was my congressman from the 22nd Congressional District and how he would never betray the gun owners. And I happen to have a copy of his voting record, and when we, the members, were allowed to speak on Saturday, I pointed out what a liar Bush was, that he voted for an anti-riot bill with gun control legislation, specifically H.R. 421 on July 19, 1967. Then he voted for a rat control bill with provisions for illegal search and seizure, H.R. 6418 on September 20, 1967. Then he voted for the Gun Control Act of 1968, H.R. 17735, on July 24, 1968. And I pointed out that Mr. Bush was a liar, always has been and always will be, and that he has never been a friend of the NRA or to gun owners in general.
That's right, and he's been involved in subversive activities ever since he left college. The man was the person who set up the drug running operations into this country when he was president and CEO of the offshore division of Zapata Oil. He also was involved in the Bay of Pigs invasion. In fact, two of the ships were named. One was named after his company, Zapata Oil. The other one was named after his wife, Barbara. There is significant information that says he may have been involved in the Kennedy assassination. The man is a criminal, in my estimation. And remember, the reason that Bill Clinton got elected is because people were so sick and tired of Bush's lies and his attempts to place us into a police state that they elected Bill Clinton on the promise that he was going to change things. Well, he sure did. He changed them much more rapidly and much farther into a police state and an oppressive, tyrannical government than George Bush would have done in the same amount of time.
Now, one thing I want to try to fax to you tomorrow. There was an article in the Houston Chronicle Saturday that the headlines are Police Assault-Style Exercises Cause Uproar at Housing Unit. Basically, at a low-income housing unit here in Houston, Allen Parkway Village, the FBI, the BATF, and Houston Police Department practiced one of their mock assault raids with machine guns blazing and all this and that, and the residents were raising hell about it. But basically, they said that, well, you couldn't do that in River Oaks, which, of course, is an affluent neighborhood. So they pick on a poor neighborhood where nobody has access to a lawyer to sue the hell out of these people.
Not only that, but they use live ammunition, and there's no guarantee that that ammunition isn't going to kill somebody three blocks away or something. That is criminal what they're doing.
Right. One thing that was funny, they interviewed Johnny Holmes, our illustrious left-wing district attorney here, about this gun carry bill that it was about to pass the other day. And while he was, of course, vehemently speaking out against the right of law-abiding people like you and I to carry a handgun, over his left shoulder in the corner of his office was a Thompson submachine gun, and Channel 13 was interviewing him, and I called him up. As soon as they had the interview, they played it, and I said, look at your tapes, check your tapes. I said, why? I said, look, over Johnny Holmes' left shoulder is a Thompson submachine gun with a vertical forehand.
Yeah, I got to cut you off because we got to go. We're out of time.
Okay,
good night. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want
a new world order. You to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashers make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value.